I got offered a job in Lyon as an English teacher. I've been doing English teaching in Spain and Poland and South America. And I got offered the job in Lyon with the company. And I thought, yes, I want to go back to France. Partly because I actually studied here in the mid 90s in near Avignon. I studied biology and I had a 6 month placement here. So I kind of fell in love with the country then. And always wanted to go back, so I got this opportunity and thought, let's do it. So I packed my bags and went to Lyon for 2 years, and I started writing the blog. That was the that's where it started, really.
And of Leon, I mean, you suggested it's a place for a day trip, and that's it.
I was probably being slightly flippant, but you can do it in a weekend. I mean, it's a very big city. If you're a tourist, I mean, you can certainly, a weekend is enough. If you want to see the sights, it's the city's very big, but the actual small town, the old Lyon, is not particularly big. It's not like Paris, it's not like other big cities, Barcelona. It's a fairly small city for a tourist. There's not much to see.
What is there
That's
to see?
well, exactly.
Well, I don't know. I've never been.
No, well, I mean, it's got an old amphitheatre. It's got two rivers, the Saône and the Rhône, and they both meet in Lyon. That's where it why it was built. It's famous for food. The bouchon is a famous kind of style of food, which is very offal based. Lots of liver and kidneys, and so people go for that. Personally, it's not particularly my favorite food, but and then there's the old architecture, but you can see lots of these in any French city. So for me, it's a great city to live in. I'm not really a city person, but I need somewhere to escape to, somewhere open, and the amphitheater or the Fourvière region of Lyon, which is on a hill. That was a great escape for me, just the same as the Downs were in Bristol, and I lived there for nearly 5 years. And or Nottingham, for example, I lived and used to go up to Sherwood Forest. So, yeah, it's not a lot of parks in Lyon, but that was a place to go to get out of the city.
Well, Leon does a bit better than Nottingham in your reviews when you refer to whether places are worthy of a day trip. So perhaps we ought to
Yeah.
brush over that fact. It's interesting, though, that you talk about walking along the river and how if you proceed in a certain direction, you get to some rather unsavoury housing estates. Because, again, for people who perhaps haven't lived in France, people who see the tourist France, just what you see from perhaps the city centre as soon as you get off the train. There's a perception that everything is wonderful, and I guess having lived there, that's not the case, is it?
People go to Paris and they see Paris, but if you go out, 10 kilometers outside Paris, you come to the suburbs, and it's the same in most French cities. There's some pretty just like in England, you get to where the things are not quite as good. A lot of new housing built in the 60s and 70s. Some of it's run down. Factories have closed. Lyon used to have a big, lots of chemical industries, lots of manufacturing, lots of car making, bicycle making. Lots of that has gone now. So you've obviously got the inner city decay, which is evident in Lyon, certainly.
What presented the last straw with Leon then? Why did he leave Leon?
I had problems with I've got a bit of asthma, and I got a very bad attack of hay fever both years actually I was there. And it is a polluted city, and I like to do exercise. And it wasn't really the last straw, but I met Elizabeth, who's my girlfriend now, and we thought, why can't we go and live in the countryside? So that's where we moved to near Poitiers in Caux, and we had a house sit, which we did for a year. We just wanted a change of scenery, and knowing that we could probably get our jobs back. If we wanted to, because English language teaching is very flexible, our contracts had come to an end as well. So we just thought it's time to leave the city and kind of give my lungs a rest, I suppose.
So, would you class Leon as a sort of an industrial town comparable to perhaps something you might find In the north of England, the Welsh Valleys, that kind of area.
Birmingham, possibly.
Okay.
But I mean, it's a big city. I mean, it's the second city. You know, Marseille and Lyon has certainly have that title as the second city. Maybe somewhere like Newcastle, possibly.
So moving to the countryside, what challenges did that present? What was it easy to fit in with within a rural community?
This was totally different. This was moving from, a metropolitan, mixed, very integrated city into the middle of nowhere, where, think rural life is really different in France than perhaps it is in England. City dwellers and rural people are very different. They have different ways of life, different thinking, different attitudes, certainly towards immigration. I've noticed, there is a slight xenophobic attitude, more so in the rural areas of France. The Front National certainly is much more strong, more stronger in the countryside. So there's those challenges as well. So it's just very interesting.
What was there any animosity because you were perceived as somebody moving in, perhaps taking homes that other people could have rented in the same way as you might get in rural parts of Britain?
No, and I think the reason is that there's so many empty villages with so many houses for sale. I mean, and so many places, people cannot sell their houses here, even expats, even locals, because people of young people, they want to live in the city or the town. Rural France is not a draw for them. And the main thing we've noticed is the price of houses is ludicrously cheap. I'm thinking four bedroomed detached house with a bit of land we can get for 60, 70,000 euros. Okay, it's not near anywhere, but so there was no problem with locals actually want people to come in. They want them, so then they can fix their houses up. They can sell them stuff. Without any people, the countryside is struggling a bit.
I'm interested in your perception that there's a very different mindset between the urban and rural France, because in Britain, all right, there are country ways. If you listen to the Archers, you might have some idea of what rural life is like. But as somebody who's lived in both city and country, there's not a vast difference, is there, in Britain? There is in France, though.
I would say there is. I mean, I've lived in England, I've lived in the countryside. And I think it's the distance to the city. So here it's about probably an hour and a half to Toulouse, which is the biggest city. There's Cahors, which is quite nearby as well. But people generally, if you live in the countryside, you stay in the countryside. Your family stays here, and but then people have moved to the city. But the traditions are in the countryside, and it's quite a fierce way of life here. They have their local produce that we go to the market every Monday. It's very traditional, very passionate. I'm not quite sure it's the same in England anymore. Maybe it used to be. You can go for you go for a glass of wine, go for a brandy, have a coffee. I mean, I'm sure you get this in England. I don't think it's dead in England, but this is not unusual. This is just how it's always been.
Living in the country, as you have for years now, you must have uncovered some places that you've been keen to tell friends and relatives back at home about that maybe don't get featured in the regular sort of tourist guides. What have you uncovered that is well worth visiting if you're a Brit going to France?
Anywhere where there's a wine region, even if it's not, one of the big famous ones, just go there and just go into the farm if they're selling wine, and just they'll give you a little tour. They may speak English. Just try the wine, and you get to see the scenery as well. I know that's very popular with people, but especially around here, Gaillac, Cahors. It's not a one of the big famous ones, but it's really quite interesting to see the villages, to see the different places as part of a general tour of the area.
And people might be a little intimidated if they see a sign that a vineyard's open and it looks like a small vineyard. They might be intimidated about going there and engaging because they might be fearful that they will have to buy lots of things before they leave. What's your experience and what advice could you give?
I used to be not a very confident person, but I've become more confident because I've just realised that, you know, people, they want to sell you something, or they're, more importantly, they're happy to show you what they do. And just to, they're proud, they're winemakers, or they make grow apples or whatever they do.
You've spent time in a chateau as well. Can you tell us about that?
That's where I am now.
You're in the chateau right now, okay.
Right now, we're house-sitting.
Well, chateau-sitting sounds better, doesn't it?
Chateau's... I mean, we're actually... this is the slight pun. We're looking after a cat. So the chateau, it's been looking after both. So, and that's for a lady who runs courses here in the summer, millinery and hat making mainly. And but over the winter, the place is closed down, and they need somebody here, one, to pay the bills. I mean, not to pay the bills, but, you know, make sure the bills are paid, check the post, check for leaks, check for rats, check for people who break in. I mean, there is a big problem in France where a lot of these houses are left unoccupied over the winter. And if people realise this, they will move in. They could either squat it, and that's, you know, impossible to get them out. Or they may just come a van and bring a van here and just, you know, clean the contents out. That has happened a lot. So people who have these big properties, they prefer people here. And it's a kind of, you know, win-win situation. We don't pay for our heating or any rent, and they don't pay for us either. So it works both ways.
Is it quite easy to find somewhere to stay in the winter if you're prepared to house it?
Incredibly easy, because there's so many people who live here in France, you know, and especially if they have a business here. They may relocate back to England during the winter for various reasons, and they need to have people in, unless they have friends nearby who can pop in. It's almost vital. I mean, we've done, this is our fourth house sit now, and people say it's really, really reassuring for them that they've got somebody here who can look after it and look out for intruders, because it happens. And squatters, you know, if they get into the house and they settle down, you will not get them out. That's just the law will back them up on that.
How did you get to know about this, and how did you manage to get the property you're in at the moment? Because it seems like a pretty good one if you're going to be house-sitting to be in a chateau.
This is, well, it was our fourth one. So on the website we use, we've got like three kind of things behind us now, three good references. So the lady advertised it on the site, and we applied, and she chose us after a Skype interview. And it was, you know, it's done trust as well. We hadn't met her before, apart from on Skype. So we just turned up on the day she told us, which was the end of October, and it's fine. But, you know, there's a lot of trust both ways, I think, because, you know, we said we'd stay here for 6 months, and you know, she expected us to stay for 6 months. So it works well.
And I guess that's a six-month period, though, because you are in the country. You've got to fund yourself using your own creativity, I guess, because there wouldn't be work nearby, would there?
No, being English teachers, we did some work. We spent the summer in England near Bath, working for the company who we originally worked for in Lyon. It's like a European-wide chain. So we worked for them in summer, and that's kind of funded 6 months here, because there's no rent, there's no bills. We shop at the market. You know, you can keep your daily expenditure down to, you know, 100 euros a week is what we budget for. So, you know, 70 quid a week is what we spend. So without rent or bills, it's, you know, you can, money can stretch, you can stretch it.
So, I mean, if you could offer a reality check to people hearing this, thinking, this sounds like the dream, I'm going to pack my bags and head off to France now. Obviously, when you live somewhere, Philip, it is different. What have you had to encounter? What has been the real challenge?
I had a tax bill in my first year in Lyon. It was like a council tax. It was redirected to the wrong address. I didn't receive it. And then I got a letter telling me my bank has been blocked. And I went down to the branch and my French bank account had been blocked and the money would be taken out of it unless I paid it. So they will take their money from your bank. They have enormous powers here. And then I went to paid the bill and the fine, and that was sorted out. So you have to be careful of these things because, not paying your tax in France is pretty severe. It's one of their kind of, I can't think of the word. They don't like people who don't pay tax, put it that way.
Have you discovered anything that you didn't know about France previously from your time when you were a student?
I suppose it's a very complex country. Lots of conflicting factions. You have the left, you have the right, you have the big problem with immigration, as we do, as lots of countries do. You have the far right, you have the far left, you have the unions, which, I have nothing bad to say about the unions per se, but they can make life really difficult for people because they have enormous power compared to the unions in England. The railway unions, farmers unions, they can shut down the railways quite easily. As you may hear on the news, the farmers are striking a lot. They can shut down whole cities quite easily. So that's interesting. It's a very interesting country.
Have you made any really nice discoveries, like perhaps food or drink or an activity that you weren't really aware of before?
I used to cycle a lot, but because of the traffic here, there's no traffic on the roads here. So I cycle with the local cycle group, and we go for 100-kilometer cycles. There's no traffic. It's incredible, And then we stop for a glass of wine or something. The local produce, local wines. If you go to a cafe or bar, always ask for the local wine, or a beer or something. Don't just go for the Heineken or a bottle of Bordeaux. Just ask what they've got. See what they've got. It's interesting.
What do you miss about Britain?
I miss pubs. I miss pints of beer, I suppose.
You describe your book as travel writing as you've never seen it before. Obviously, from our conversation, people can hear that it's a real, genuine insight into France as a country, as a Brit who's lived there. So it's a different perspective. What do you feel that you'll give would-be travellers who buy your book?
Well, I think they could get a feel of the country from a different perspective. It's more of it's not really a guidebook into, go from here to there. It's more of a impression of the country from, positives and negatives. It's not just all coffee and wine and lovely villages. It's an interesting and difficult country.
But as a recommendation, if somebody was going to buy a book and then head off to perhaps a part of France for a weekend and they want to see as much as they can in a weekend of the real France, what would your destination tip be?
I would go to Lyon for a weekend and then I'd go, because the Alps is only 2 hours away and Provence is also 2 hours away. So if you had a week, I'd do Lyon, the Alps, and then some Provence in a week. And that would be certainly a nice and interesting week of France.